Hi, good afternoon. My name is Michael L. Last. I'm 75 years old. Today is Friday, June 10th, 2022, and we're recording at the Lyman Museum in Hilo, Hawaii. My interviewer is Cole, and since we just met in person today, and we spoke on the phone about 5 days ago, this is the first opportunity I had to meet him in person.
My name is Cole Johnston. I am 24 years old. Today's date is June 10th, 2022, and we are recording at the Lyman Museum in Hilo, Hawaii. My interview partner's name is Michael, and he is a new friend, or a friend of 5 days, perhaps. So. Michael, just to get us started, bring me back to the beginning of your military service. So, when were you drafted or enlist, and what led up to that moment?
I was drafted in August 22nd, 1966, way back when. So I was in school at the time. But I guess they didn't think I was serious because I was going at night, working full-time, school at night, and they figured, we want you. And I went for a pre-induction physical to that date of pre-induction physical. And on that date, I had a report to Whitehall Street in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan. And it was ironic because as soon as I got my draft notice, I was working for the city of New York then, I got a draft notice, and I figured, well, I'm going to take off and use all my leave and go to California. So the planes were on strike that day or week, so I took the bus across to California. And when I told my employer, city of New York, that I'm going to go away, and why? They said, well, in case I don't come back. And they said, well, what happens if you do come back? And I said, heck, I'll take my chances. So that's what got me in the service on that day, and 730 days to the day I was discharged.
Wow.
That's it.
That's incredible. So, break it down for me. You receive a draft card. Does that come in the mail? And what does that feel like when you first realize what it is?
Boy, I can't remember if it came in the mail or... I might have been issued it when I went for a pre-induction physical.
Oh, I see.
In Lower Manhattan. Might have came then, because I can't really recall what the... But I had one. And then we had to give it up when we entered the service. I had to give up a draft card, which I thought was kind of funny, but I did.
Absolutely. That is too funny. So they make you turn it in. You get to basic training and you turn in the draft card?
No, as soon as you're drafted, you're raise your right hand, you're in the service, turn in your draft card.
Wow.
So I did.
No kidding, absolutely. And so you had traveled, you'd known that you were going to be drafted, you traveled to California. At what point did you start basic training? What was that like?
Well, I got back to New York right on the day, the Sunday before, and Monday my dad took me down Whitehall Street, and I said goodbye, and for the whole day we already did most of our physical, but they want to make sure we didn't catch anything or whatever. So I remember at the end of the day, pretty much like 5:30 at night, they took us by bus to Penn Station to catch the train. We had no idea where we were going, but as it turns out, we were going down to South Carolina. South Carolina, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Oh. Yeah, I think that was it. Oh, I can't remember. But we were there, and when we were there, we spent a few days, and then we were on the same post, as far as I remember, we were taken to basic training. as a group, and we were all from all over the country. It was amazing. And most of us did not want to be there. Oh, gosh, I laugh about it now.
Absolutely, yeah. So you have, basically, you're traveling to this place, and were most of the people you were with drafted, or were enlistees there as well, or?
I think you went into the military one of three reasons. Mm-hmm. One, you enlisted.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you were drafted. And three, the judge gave you a choice, jail or military.
Wow.
But
really?
whoever went in the military, they made the wrong mistake. They realized, because after 30 days, if they were in prison, they would have been out already. But hey.
Sure, that makes sense. That's funny. So you get to basic training, and you're surrounded by all these different people. Yeah. And what was it, grueling? Was it challenging? What was a typical day like?
Oh gosh. We got up early in the morning. I remember that. It was 8 weeks, and it was really, to me, it was very, very physically taxing then. Now I look back, well, that wasn't so bad. So one of the things I do remember about basic training, even though it was only 8 weeks, you know, my religion is atheist,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't born that, but after a couple of years, I converted and I haven't gone back. But anyway, so I was surprised that the Army, the entire military service, didn't treat atheists equally. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I mean by that, I wasn't looking for any special favor, but, you know, Sunday, we had a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And they expected people to go to church or temple, wherever they wanted to go, which I thought was good, but I wanted to sleep. And when they found out I was missing this, they said, "We don't care what you believe, but you got to go to one of these organizations." And I said, "Well, that's kind of stupid. I mean, because I don't want to go." "Well, then you're going for guard duty." And this bothered me throughout my entire career.
Yeah. So this continued, this kind of difference in treatment continued throughout.
But not as severe, put mm-hmm. it that way, not as severe. But to me, it was pretty severe. You know, mm-hmm. you can't sleep. You got to go to here or pull guard duty. And I said, okay, I'll pull guard duty, reluctantly. But
sure. Yeah, absolutely. But why do you think that they did that? Was that something that, was it like a bonding experience in their mind, or?
No, they just figured, no, you can't be different.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah, well,
You know, I've heard the military, you know, everybody's got to wear the same thing. Everybody's got the same haircut, right?
So oh, yeah.
Makes sense that it would be the same on a Sunday.
I mean, but this is 50-something years ago.
Right.
So, I mean, 56 years ago, everybody, we all had to do the same thing, basically. But come on, you know, you can have some personalization. No, you can't. So.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, that was the story. That's what brought me here today to show, wait a minute, the guy served his country and we didn't treat him properly. Oh, well. I never got I never got any justification why they did that.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, what about other memories? Anything that stands out to you or any challenges that, you know, really stick in your memory?
No, I got to think back now. I think possibly the only thing besides losing someone, but I mean, he got killed in Vietnam. But I mean, other than that, I had two very, you asked me, after basic, I got two very, very, very close friends in the military, both like me, drafted. One of them lived in Connecticut, and the other one lived in Peoria, Illinois.
Wow.
And it's ironic. And they were both 2 or 3 years older than I was. The one in Connecticut died maybe a year and a half ago, which really bothered me. And my other friend from Peoria, he just died maybe 3 weeks ago. Really, I mean, this really bothered me because he came here to Hawaii, him and his wife. They both did, mm-hmm. different times, of course. They were both here. And then I've been to visit them in Connecticut or Illinois, and now they're gone, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it, but it did bother me a lot, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine that, especially if you, so you were deployed with all of these people that you just mentioned?
We went around the country, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I imagine those bonds that are forged in such a specific environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, could you talk about that?
Yeah, most of the bonds we had were just having fun.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, geez, we didn't care. We just did whatever the heck we wanted to.
Yeah.
And one of the things I remember was, gosh, now you're bringing up all these things. what the heck? I lose my train of thought.
No, no worries. Take your time.
No, I have a problem with that. Anyway, I know. Now I remember. For a while, we were both working in the orderly room. That's the office, like. Mm-hmm. They called it the orderly room where the first sergeant was and all that. And we had the task of putting together the morning report. Now it's altogether different. When we put it down, we had to put down who was on leave on paper and make two copies with carbon paper between them. And then the major, the head of the captain, or the major, the head of the company would sign off on it, and then we'd take him to give him higher up to the other office in the Army. Anyway, but what was interesting, me and my friend from Peoria, we came up with this theory. Now, wait a minute. Why can't we just alter what we put down? You know, which we did. And since it was the carbon paper, so whatever you made was exactly as sent. We took the carbon paper out, and we put our name, one of us, I did for him, he did for me. We were on leave. But when we put it, when we gave it to the battalion, the ones higher up, we gave them that we were away, but the one for our company, the copy for the company, said we were still here, mm-hmm. and nobody knew the wiser. Nobody. And we got away with that. Well, I think we took maybe a week or 2 weeks at a time. We only did it twice, but boy, this is when we were stationed in Georgia or Alabama. I can't remember where. But it was interesting. Now, I mean, I can get in trouble for saying this, but...
Yeah, risky, but very clever, very clever.
Very clever.
That's so fun.
And the other thing, you know, I couldn't make ends meet with the salary. I mean, let's face it. I took a pay cut to go in the Army. I was getting paid $68 a week. And then when I was drafted, I got $78 a month. Ugh.
Wow.
So after basic, I took a job. Because after basic, we were pretty much on our own. I mean, during the day, we had the military. But after that, you know, do what we wanted. I took a job running a movie projector. Running a projector, which was old style, you know. So, and then my friend from Connecticut, I taught him how to do it. So he got it. He got on a gig, too.
That's so funny. Yeah. What is that like? You just stand by the projector and make sure it doesn't get caught up?
No.
What constitutes running one of these old-timey projectors?
Yeah, right. Okay, first of all, a movie, a regular movie, had a big reel, a gigantic reel, mm-hmm. 35-millimeter film, mm-hmm. big reel, and each one would run maybe 18 to 20 minutes. That's it.
Oh.
Now, this is not, you don't do this anymore. Now it's all digital. And all. Anyway, so you got all these, this is another good story, all these tapes or all these reels of movie film. And what you had to do it's running, so you have to strike the carbon arc. Mm-hmm. And then there's a shutter which kept the light off from the film. So what you did, you watched the reel, and you see when you got about a minute left running, you turn your second projector, you thread it up, and get ready to go. You got to be ready.
Okay.
And then on the screen, and this has always happened, you can even see it on television movies, up in the upper right corner is a circle for 4 frames, which is a sixth of a second, 24 frames a second, four frames, a sixth of a second flashes, you know, and then you say, oh, I got to turn the projector on. So you turn the projector. You already struck the arc a couple of seconds before, and you turn the projector on. So now the second projector's running, and the one is running with the movie, that's running. And then about 6 seconds later is another set of circles. And that tells you, okay, you got a solenoid switch. You flip the switch, and it closes the running projector, the shutter, to block the light to the running projector, and opens up the other one like this. And
wow.
It worked perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Occasionally, you miss the first ones, you know, but they start grumbling. But when you get to turn on the projector, finally, you know, it's only 6 or 7 seconds later. You know, hey, what are you complaining about? You see the whole movie. The best time with this one time. The film had about 6 or 7 reels, depending on how long the movie was. And one time, I showed the movie, but something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, when I get out, when I shut down and go out, I see somebody go, what the hell did you do? What do you mean, what did I do? Yeah, some of the reels were out of sequence. Yeah, but you saw the whole movie.
So there was a mix-up in terms of...
Yeah, I mixed up.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, they saw the whole movie.
That's right. They got what they paid for.
Right. And it was 35 cents or something.
That's too funny.
Anyway.
So you were doing this with your friend from Connecticut.
Yeah.
You've mentioned these friends a couple times. You know, are these people that you remember fondly? Are these your closest friends? I know you mentioned your friend who passed away in Vietnam and then Illinois friend in Connecticut.
Both these guys passed away... I mean, after we got out, way out.
Right.
I mean.
Can you tell Cole your friend's name?
Yeah, my friend from Connecticut was Wally Ackerman.
Mm-hmm.
Wally Ackerman. He was from Connecticut. And the one from Illinois, Peoria, Illinois, who was about 2 years older than the one from Connecticut, his name was Bob Wolford. He's the one who just passed away. Yeah. But. Bob Wolfer?
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah, what was it about them that made you
want to
be friends with them?
Well, no, you got to, in the military, you're so structured, you got to get somebody and talk to. So we did this. And then we found out, hey, man, you want to do this? Yeah. You know? So it just, and we were both U.S.s, meaning drafted.
Mm-hmm.
There was U.S. or R.A.
Mm-hmm.
My dog tag says U.S.,
Wow. Okay.
So instead of RA, but anyway, so we get to know them, and really, then when Bob got out of the service, maybe he got out in March, and I got out in August. So, and my other friend Wally, he got out of the service the day after I did.
Mm-hmm.
So we went. Wally had a car, and we drove to Illinois to see Bob.
Oh my gosh!
And it was nice.
Yeah, a road trip.
And to put it in perspective, while we were in Illinois in Peoria, we went up to Chicago for the Democratic convention.
Wow!
What the heck we were doing there? I have no idea.
It was a big happening, right?
Yeah. Well,
a road trip.
A lot of people.
Three
buddies. Yeah. Oh boy. Gosh, this is good, remembering all these things.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have other memories that jump out to you about these two?
No, I'm just sorry to see they're gone, that's all.
But, yeah, absolutely. You said that it's probably tough, right?
Yeah.
Did you keep in contact with them through, you know, after the service?
Oh, absolutely. I keep them every... every week or two, I'd call each one of them. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Or Wally, how you doing? You know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of painful when they died. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, just old age. One was close to 80, and the other one was 78. So yeah, it hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very much so.
Are these the people that you were referencing wanting to remember?
Yeah, those are the ones. Yeah. I mean, you know, the ones that say, "Did you have any fond memories?" Sure did.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the other one I have there, he was second lieutenant. Just got into the military.
And what was this man's name?
Oh, Eugene Moppet, M-O-P-P-E-R-T.
Eugene Moppet.
I remember him very. He was an officer, a zero, as we call him, O-1, for second lieutenant. And he was from New Orleans. And I just, you know, we didn't hang out that much, because he was an officer and we were enlisted. But we had a good time, you know, talking about stuff. And I met his wife, too, because he was stationed on post with his wife. And I went over there one time for dinner or something, and I saw him. And it's ironic, a couple of months later, his wife called me to tell me that Gene got killed in Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, he was a young kid. Well, young. I was young, too, but...
Yeah, that's tough. Was that a common occurrence, would you say? Like, what was it quite common for people to pass away?
Yeah, but it didn't impact me. He was the only one that really impacted me.
Right.
You know?
You knew him. You had a relationship
with
him.
Yeah. And his wife was really nice, you know? So it's funny. I was in the military. I even sent her a card to, you know, just to show my respect for him. It was really something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What was Eugene like? Did he have any kind of mannerisms or like quirks, personality traits?
He was the typical New Orleans guy.
Uh-huh.
Typical. Now, I'd never been to New Orleans when he was alive. I've been there a couple times, but it was interesting because it's just hard to explain. It's some these characteristics. They stick in my mind, but I can't tell you why or what for.
Sure,
it was
sure.
Great.
Is it a typical New Orleans guy, kind of like, you know, boisterous, loud kind of type, or what does that look
no,
like?
No, he was, well, pretty subdued, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what happened, when did you get out of the military?
I got out August 21st, 1968. I got messed up because there was a leap year and I had to serve an extra day.
Yeah. So they cheated you out of a day there.
Yeah, they made me.
Absolutely. So what was the, you know, you get out of the military, you know,
yeah.
you turn in your stuff into a building, I assume, and you walk out or something like that?
Well, everybody got out a different day, mostly everybody, you know. Nobody got out the same day unless by coincidence. So I remember in the morning we gave all our stuff. We had to give all our issued stuff, not the clothing. The clothing kept, but all the stuff that we got rid of, guns and all this other stuff. We gave them in. God, who wanted them anyway? And, I remember something else, Kato. Oh,
yeah.
What the heck? My friend, I don't remember if it was Wally or Bob, but one of them helped me. We're driving around one day, because I had a car also. This is towards the end of my time. We're driving around, and we see on the side of the road was this traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
A red, 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 and yellow, yellow. And all it was doing was blinking. So I said, hey, I like that. I want to take it home. He said, what are you, crazy? I said, nah. So we loaded up in the car, in my car, and we go back to post. And then on the post, the MPs, military police, they could check everything, you know, and they did. They checked my car.
Oh, no.
And So they made me go to my captain or something, and they said, "Last, where did you get that traffic light?" "Well, sir, I bought it." "You have a bill of sale?" "Absolutely, sir." But I didn't keep the bill of sale with me, I told him. I said I had the bill of sale sent back to New York.
Of course.
Never occurred to him why I sent the bill of sale to New York, but I kept the traffic light with me. So I called Wally because he was a draftsman. And he made up a nice bill of sale. Mm-hmm. And I went back 5 or 6 days later to the captain and major. I don't remember. Saluted him. Says, "Sir, you wanted to see my bill of sale. I got it. Let me see it." He looks at it. "Last, why the hell did you buy it?" And I look at the guy and said, "Sir, it was on sale."
And he took that.
Yeah, what's he going to say? I still got it at home here in Hawaii.
Wow, what a keepsake. What a keepsake.
Yeah, right. What the heck, of all the stuff I got it. And I have it wired up and electrical, and it flashes.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's too funny.
So after I got out of the Army, I went back to New York. I mean, by way of Illinois, Peoria, and then Chicago, back to New York. And my friend Wally, he was from Connecticut, and he had a car, so we drove. I don't think I had a car. I think I took it home with me one time. And but it was interesting. I mean, just to think of all this stuff going on, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That was also a crazy time in history and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. Wait, yeah. Okay, so we talked about Eugene, but, you know, going back to Wally, yeah. You know, it sounds like quite the character. Could you describe Wally for me? What did he look like, and did he have any mannerisms?
Yeah, he was taller than I was, and also thin. None of us have, like this, in the military. And, he was a draftsman. He went back to where he was working in. He lived in Connecticut, and he worked in right across the border in New York State. I can't. Oh well, I went to see him a couple times. I mean, I stayed with him in Connecticut, and then we went to where he was. He was working. He picked me up at the train, and we went back there. It was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And your other friend's name is Bob.
Bob Walter.
Yeah. You know, describe Bob Walter for me. What did he look like? What was his personality like?
Oh, Bob was a different than Wally. He was a professional, not a professional. No, he liked basketball,
mm-hmm.
and he was a referee, mm-hmm. referee for, and he would do this all the time. He went to school for. He went to law school in Chicago, and he became a lawyer, but he was always into the basketball. And even maybe 10 years before he passed away, he was still refereeing. I thought that was amazing.
Wow, what a commitment.
I can't even get around the court.
No kidding.
He did.
Wow, yeah, what a commitment.
I mean, it's just the two people of all the people I knew in the service, just these two people. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kept in contact with them your whole life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that lifelong bond. Do you think you know, when you were in the service, did you know it was going to be a lifelong bond?
No, we didn't know.
Didn't know.
But we needed somebody to talk to and do this kind of stuff that we did, and it was
yeah, like stealing traffic lights. That's too. I'm still laughing at that that story. But so you know, thinking back to these friends, you know, do you think was there any like important lessons that they taught you, or you know, impressions that they left on you? How did they impact you?
Just a nice guy. I mean,
yeah,
nice guy. Yeah. Really not. Yeah. Oh, Bob. Bob was married. When he got out, he got married, and then it lasted 2 or 3 years. And then he married his other wife, who he's been with up until the time he died, 50 years or so.
Wow. That's impressive.
And Wally, he was, well, we were all single at the time, but after a couple of years, I remember he got married. I went to his wedding. Me and my wife went to his wedding. And it was ironic, you know. Think about these things. Here he was. him and his new wife were at the wedding ceremony, and this kid comes running up, "Mommy, mommy, mommy!" Wally was the father of this kid, so he was about 10 years old. No, 10. Now what am I saying? No, maybe 4 or 5 years old. "Mommy, mommy!" You know, because he didn't. I thought that was interesting, you know. Because normally you don't see that, but hey.
Right.
Whatever.
That's too funny.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, what a bunch of characters.
Yeah, very interesting. Gosh. Oh, man.
Yeah. did they ever come out here to visit you in Hawaii?
Yeah, they both did.
They did.
Both, different times. They, both of the fellas and their wives came over here. 2001, one of them came,
wow.
And the other one came maybe 2010 or something.
But yeah.
Yeah, very, very strong memories, gosh.
No kidding. What did they think of your new home?
Well, they knew I had to live someplace. It was okay because most of the time we went places around here. You know?
Sure, sure.
I mean, I've been here all the time, but I went with them all the way around. Both guys and their wives at different times just took them all over. It was nice.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you traveled all over the place in the service. You traveled all over the place out of the service.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
One time, Wally was a private pilot.
Uh-huh.
And he one time we flew down to Texas. Hobby Field in Austin, Texas? No. Houston, Texas, Hobby Field, a small airport. And we went down to see one of the kids, because Wally was big when Boy Scouting in the service. And one of his kids, the child of a officer or something, we flew down there to see him. And it was interesting. It was really nice, all these little things. Gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad I came today. Boy, all these memories. Wow.
Memories coming back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think it makes you happy to just remember, like, all those different adventures you had?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Except from the, you know, religious non-religious persecution. But,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
I would never do that. And,
exactly. But, well, yeah, I mean, it was the 1960s, right?
1960s? Mid-60s.
And certainly the military, that was not the only place where that conflict
was happening,
of course, right?
Not. Yeah. No.
What was it like living through that era?
In the service?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, man, it was interesting because I remember they had us, this was in the States, we had a... be ready for the Martin Luther King was shot then, so we had to be on alert. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah, lots of unrest.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So pivoting to, and if you want to talk about something else, totally fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
But pivoting back to, you know, you turned in all of your stuff, And you're out of the military, you know. You walk out and you're done. You're free.
Yeah, but ironically, I got out, but I went back in for an extra day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. What happened was I got out on a Wednesday, and Wally was getting out on Thursday. So I got out. I was discharged and all that. So I got – this was in Alabama, by Fort Rucker, Alabama. And I drove up to a hotel there, motel or something, and I'm really cheery and happy, you know. He says, why are you so happy, brother? I said, well, today I get out of the Army, and tomorrow I get the hell out of Alabama. And he said, yeah, you're not staying here. So I had no place to stay. I went back to the barracks.
Oh, man.
I had no sheets, nothing, but... I figured it was the last time I'll be this, I'll do this, the last time I'll be in the military.
Yeah, yeah, it's your farewell tour, right?
Well, yeah, then we had to serve in the reserves. Because we were all drafted for 6 years. 2 years were active duty, and the last four were inactive reserves. So when I went to the after I got out, I went to the to sign up. And I said, "Well, we got enough people in the reserves, plenty of people in the military. We don't need you guys unless you want to be here." I said, "No, no, don't call me. I'll call you."
They didn't have to tell you twice.
And then 4 years after I got out, discharge came. All right.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh boy. No.
What's our time check?
5 minutes.
Perfect.
Oh, what? This is going faster and better than I thought.
I know.
Really?
The time flies by. It
really
does.
Gosh.
So you know, you do your one extra day, you're done, right?
I didn't do it. I had to stay someplace.
Right, in the barracks.
Yeah.
what does that feel like? Did you feel free? Were you
Absolutely.
Excited? Yeah. What was the first thing you were going to do?
When I got out?
Yeah.
I was just looking forward to traveling halfway across country to Illinois and then Chicago. Just had a great time.
Yeah. Was it just a road trip? Were you going there to work? Or
No. Both road trip.
Okay.
Wally from Connecticut, he got out a day after I did.
Right.
And we went to see Bob, who was already out for a couple of months. And he lived in Peoria. And we went out there. It was all nice. I've been back a couple times, but it was really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah. A great way to kick off you know, post-military life.
Yeah.
That's too funny. What, you know, so did you start working again after you were out, or?
Yeah, about a month later after I had all my fill of going around the country. And because then we went to Illinois and we came back. And after about a month, I went back to work.
Yeah absolutely.
I said, look, you see, good thing I took my leave, huh?
Well, did you ever get back to your $68 a week, or did the military just make that a permanent pay cut for you?
Oh, no. I went up. It went up. Good. I mean, gee. God. It went up to maybe $150 a week. A month.
A month.
60. I was getting $68 a week in private, and then when I got in the military, it was as an E-1, $78 a month.
Yeah. Oh,
well. Yeah. Well, we had to pay for our own haircuts and everything. Oh.
That's so it's mind bending to imagine, one, just because it's such a big pay cut, but two, in today's money, that just sounds so small to me, right?
I mean, I get my medical care through the VA, and I'm amazed at how much they pay now. Oh, man, you should have kept me out, and you wouldn't have to pay this. No. Anyway.
Absolutely.
I laugh about it.
So after your road trip, you know, what does your life look like?
I was living with my mother and father mm-hmm. in our own house in Queens. And I went back to doing everything.
Yeah.
Until maybe 5 years later I got married or something. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was nice.
Good. Yeah.
The military was, I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to go in, but
right.
I went in. You can go in.
Sounds like there were negative aspects, but you have fond memories.
Oh yeah, absolute fond.
Yeah. So you know, we've covered a lot of ground here in your life. You know, what do you think? You know, do you have any kind of like closing thoughts, reflection, or do you have maybe? Something you would share with your younger self now that you know?
Oh, wow. I tell you, the friendships I made in the military was far surpassed anything I can imagine then. I mean, it just endured. I mean, for 55 years, it endured. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, those relationships were just
absolutely
a huge feature of your life. So
Yeah.
And what a positive impact. You know, there's so many ways the military could impact someone. It's great to hear that.
I forget about those. I really do. I except for Eugene Maupin.
Right.
I that still bothers me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I donated to the Vietnam Veterans Wall in Washington in his name.
And his name is there on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's gone. Yeah.
Very cool.
Plus other people, but he was the one that most impacted me for some reason. I don't know.
Sure, yeah. He sticks out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else as we close up here?
It's a pleasure. I mean, really, you guys are doing... You made me feel so good by reminiscing all these things.
Yeah, good, good. I'm glad. I'm grateful that I got to hear your, you know, all of these great memories and stories today. It makes me smile, you know, I think.
Yeah, it made me smile. As a matter of fact, the VA took care of me today coming here, because I live 80 miles away, so I don't just come up for one thing. I had two VA appointments, one for my eyes and one for my hearing today, so. And then you guys, what a deal. I didn't even know that they'd take me today.
Yeah, of course. No, you know, we're so happy to have you. So.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be here.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for coming in.
And relate all the facts of my military service. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you.